Well, welcome to the DNK and A Repos non-league show, and we're here for the next hour, and of course in association with Repos Retail Solutions, of course our fantastic sponsors. And apologies to them tonight because I haven't swapped the cover back over behind me, but I apologise to them for that. But we will sort that out. And of course, joining us, and you know, of course, as well at the bottom, just below me tonight, she is. And of course, it's the one and only Ali. And welcome back, Ali.
Hey, everybody. Just about got there in time in the end.
And then, of course, to the left, on the top left, of course, is the manager from Colville Town. And what a cup run you had, mate. And congratulations on that. Of course, is Adam. And so welcome back, Adam.
Yeah, nice to be on. Good to see everyone.
And then, of course, we're just talking off air as well. Of course, the legend of a press team and everything else down at your club and all the rest of it, Lee. And, of course, Lee, manager from Swindon Supermarine. And I don't know about anybody else. He's got to be one of the best non-league names other than Peace Haven and Telscombe as well, who have just made it through to the quarterfinals of the FA Bar. So it's a fantastic name for a football club. And Ali, I mean, this week, I mean, how's your games gone before we get to the lads?
Well, we won.
Is it better pitch than last week?
Slightly. We've got two red cards, which is always fun. We won 4-2. So that's always a good start, isn't it? And unfortunately, on Sunday, the game didn't go ahead because the other team got to bring their kit. So, great weekend all round, really. Welcome to Sunday League.
They forgot to bring their kit.
Yeah, generally. And they were waiting for it to come from the sports director. Like, no, and then it came to... Welcome to the SE Johns.
So if you didn't know and you didn't hear what Ali just said there, she her Sunday team is SE Dons, the real sort of big sort of giants of Sunday league football. So she does that as well. But dear me, forget your kit. That's a bad one, isn't it?
Spoiler alert, by the way. Might be a short one on Sunday.
I mean, guys, I mean, yourself at the weekend, I mean, for those that don't know, I mean, games, how do they go at the weekend? Lee, should we start with you, Lee? Well,
yeah, we had a great result at the weekend. Beat Beaconsfield 3-2 at their place. So yeah, real positive one. I must admit, Thursday after training, we had a number count and we were 7 down. So to go there and get a result with the 7 players unavailable on the day was a great result. So delighted with that.
I mean, as well, it's a lovely ground out as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really nice. Yeah, they've got the 4G and like I say, this credit to Beaconsfield going forward. They're a really good side. And like I say, they certainly ask you a lot of questions. And like I say, I think either team could have won on the day. But like I say, listen, we're delighted with obviously the result, and it kept our unbeaten run going. That's now 5 unbeaten. And like I say, it gives us a chance of sort of hanging on to the coattails of the teams above us.
I mean, try to chase the likes of Met Police and Dorchester and Paul Bracknell. I mean, the other three are probably away with the Larks, and they Chesham, Truro and Western Supermare.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, like you just said, the top three, they're well clear now. And I think anyone would do well to catch them. Bracknell, I think, probably. I mean, obviously, they've had their FA Trophy run, so they haven't played as many games unless they hit a real sticky patch, which, if I'm honest, I can't see that. They're pretty consistent and have shown, like I say, especially at home, they're a really good side. We played them earlier in the season, and yeah, they were decent. So I think they're going to take some stopping. And Paul are a good side as well. Very strong, physical, good at home. And same again, obviously, we drew last week with them away from home. So that was another good result. So, yeah. So like I say, listen, we're in good form at the moment. And we've just got to keep our heads down and try and find some consistency, really. If we can do that, then I think we've got a chance of, like I say, staying around that top 10 area and give ourselves a chance of maybe having a push.
I mean, is it fifth place you're looking at? do you feel? Do you think that's the place that's up for grabs? Because, I mean, you go a point behind Paul if you win your game in hand. And if you did finish fifth and you did stay in that place, and that was the place you want, do you not want Truro to finish second so you haven't got that nice travel on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we played them earlier in the season and it is a long journey. It's hell of a journey. I mean, obviously, they're at Plymouth Parkway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough place to go, and they're a very good team as well, Truro. Mm. They're definitely one of the strongest teams we've played. There's no doubt about that. Paul's got a really good side down there. So yeah, I think they'll take some stopping, to be fair. But when it's the playoffs, you like I say, obviously we've gone up through the playoffs before, and as you know, it's on the day, and you just got to make sure, like I say, you're at your best on the day, and you've got every chance. But First and foremost, listen, that's a long way away yet. We just need to concentrate. I know it's a cliche, but it's game by game and just making sure we put in good performances. If we put in good performances, we've got a chance against anyone on our day. Mm. And that's how we look at it, really.
And if you look at your league as well, though, I mean, there's you look at there's some of these sort of teams in there, especially the one that seemed to be literally marooned at the bottom and no chance of getting out of the relegation zone. All of a sudden, they're on a right winning streak, aren't they? Northfleet at the bottom, and they could be a real sort of banana skin for a few clubs if they carry on with the form they're in at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, mate. I mean, I know Christy Allen quite well, and he's obviously come in recently over the last 6 weeks. And even when we played them, we beat them 2-1. And to be fair, on the day, we could have quite easily got beat, to be honest. And it's just fine margins in our league. Every game is so close and it's so competitive. And to be fair, listen, I think they're going to probably do a few teams a few favours, to be honest, if they keep going as they are. And it makes it, there's got to be a lot of teams below them now who are probably looking over their shoulders. And a lot of the teams below, I think, are sort of compressing the middle of the league up as well a little bit and sort of pushing up. So, yeah, it's starting to look quite interesting. And I think, like you say, apart from the top three who seem to be quite gone at the moment and pushed away, the rest of it, you can see it taking shape already, really.
Mm. I mean, even Plymouth Parkway as well, they're up there in the form guide as well, so you've got sort of two of the sort of bottom sort of five or six teams and they're in great form at the minute, and just probably maybe for them just at the right time, but they're fine. I know Steve Whitney said to me, he said, you look at last year, he said Plymouth Parkway would get up, he said, and they would get up into this division. He said he wouldn't be at all surprised to soon go straight through that division as well and move up again. But it hasn't proved that way at the minute. But, they're sitting there on 30 points, 15 points behind, three games in hand.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we haven't played him yet. We've got them, I think we've got them in a couple of weeks. But I've obviously watched your highlights and spoken to a few managers regarding them. And like you say, I mean, I saw their highlights against Paul, and they beat Paul 3-0 or 4-0 recently at their place. And they look really impressive, to be fair. They look really sharp. And like you say, they're scoring freely. And I think they drew at the weekend. But I mean, prior to that, I think they'd won the previous four or five. So, yeah, like you say, there's a lot of good sides in it. And it's a really competitive league. And like I say, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out.
Mm. I mean, yourself though, Adam, I mean, we've Colville, I mean, a fantastic cup run. And I mean, everybody was, sort of watching and seeing where he was going to, how far he was going to get. But that must have been a fantastic sort of few months for yourself and the club.
Yeah, I mean, think going to the FA Cup first round, beating Notts County on the way before the Charlton game. And then obviously in the FA Trophy as well. Getting to the last 32, and we're very unfortunate to lose against Banbury by a poor start that we had. So, yeah, it's great to play in these games. You know, I think hopefully that'll stand us in good stead. But it's now back to the bread and butter of the league, which is undoubtedly the most important thing.
I mean, at the minute, top of the form guide in the last six games, 6 out of 6.
I was just looking at that, David.
Yeah. I mean, the key was that to not get blinkered by the cup run. When we lost against Banbury, it could have been hangover. But and I think Andernart, the lads were desperate to get back playing in the league again. We've had games called off for the league, and then we ended up not playing in the trophy because that got called off as well. So it was like a double whammy. And if you look, we've got that many games to play, but you know, it's going to be full on for now through February and March, and no doubt we'll probably get more games called off. But you know, it is what it is, and you know, I've got a good group, and we're just taking each game. You know, we're quite a way behind, but you know, important things just for us, just getting back on the horse and riding it, and that's what we've done. You know, in these last six games, but you know, we can't underestimate anyone.
I mean, I saw a poll. I don't know if Ali saw it or if Lee saw it. I saw a poll on Twitter somebody put on there. I'm not sure who it was who put it on there, but they were asking a question: who was going to win the league in the Central Division? And Leeston and Tamworth were like the ones that were sort of like with a bigger percentage. But when you start looking at yours, I mean, you're what, seven games in hand on Tamworth and only 14 points behind. Well, I'm no mathematician, but that puts you on 71. So you're already 7 points clear of Tamworth if you win them all.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we've not even spoke about it, to be honest. You know, it's to be fair, it's better to have points on the board than in hand. You know, everyone will say that. But what we need to do is just make sure that we cement that playoff place. You know, we're in a decent little position, good run of form, and we can't take a foot off the gas. We know, you know, there's some big clubs in there. You know, as I've said, you know, Tamworth, Nuneaton's, two conference clubs. You know, we've really speculated, you know, put a lot into the playing squad. And so, you know, that they're always going to be strong. So, yeah, we'll just go on about a business game by game, and then we'll see where it takes us. You know, we need, obviously, you know, keep lucky as such with injuries and the whole shebang. But I'm fortunate in the fact that even though I've only got a small squad, I've got lads which can play in more than one position. So we've got a good solid group, you know, and I don't bring many players in. If it is, it has to be a right one. So no, we're enjoying ourselves at the minute, but there's a lot of hard work to come.
I always get baffled when I look at people's fixtures, especially this time of year, because it seems to be every club that I seem to look at, and it can't be because of what I'm about to say, but I do stuff for Enfield Town in the Isthmian Prem, and they've got no home games at all, or next to no home games in March at all. Now, I've just looked at yours. You know, you play Hitchin tomorrow night at home, then Leeston at home, then St Ives at home, Redditch away, Bedford at home, and then you go Leeston, Bromsgrove, Alverchurch, Nuneaton Borough and Stourbridge all the way. So yeah. Five games on the bounce.
I know.
You know, it's just looking at you think how, you know, because normally when you see a picture, it's normally like two at home, two away, one at home, one away. But this year, every sort of one I look at seems to be that same sort of scenario.
Yeah, it is mad, really. I know we get the games called off, but we've actually played some teams twice before we've played the team once, you know, already. I think we've played Royston twice, we've played Rushton twice, we've played Hensford twice, and that's just off the top of my head, Tamworth twice. But they're, you know, we've still not played Bromsgrove at all, you know, and it's bizarre, really, how it pans out.
Yeah. I mean, you could throw a real spanner in the works, though, you know, because, you know, we're in the space of a couple of weeks, you've got to play Leeston twice, or yeah. Leeston, or however you want to say it.
Yeah. To be fair, there's going to be lots of twists and turns, and you know they've done an excellent job at least. You know, they're sitting there; they're a good team. You know, as the table shows, you know, the table doesn't lie. So there's going to be lots of twists and turns between now and the end of the season. It's important for us, is you know, to keep in that mix within the top five.
Yeah. I mean, I look at your fixtures, and without knowing, and maybe I should know, but I don't. I would look at your fixtures and say, especially with all the bad weather and stuff that we've had, that Colville play on 3G or 4G.
The what? That we play on it?
Yeah.
No.
Is your pitch a very, very good grass pitch?
It's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. It's not very often we get games called off, really, mainly frost-wise, really, where it gets in the far stand, you know. But no,
the reason I asked that is because there don't seem to be many home games, but you know, 10 ton of an away game. So I just assumed that maybe that might be what it was.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you know, the away games, I mean, a positive really that, you know, we are, you know, we do enjoy playing away from home. You know, I think we've got an excellent away record. So, yeah, so it doesn't faze us playing away from home at all, you know. So, again, we've got this run of home games coming. And like you said, a run of away games, which, again, everything will bring its own challenge against some very good teams in there.
I mean, I was just looking at yours as well, Lee. I mean, you look at yours and could it be, you know, the last game of the season at home to Chesham? You could be playing them twice in a matter of a couple of days.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, that, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, like I say, listen, I think Chesham. I didn't actually go when we played them. I was ill that day, but my assistant Charlie Griffin said that they're a good side and they're always a very strong team. And I think he's added well this season. I think they've added really well, and I think they'll run the other two close. To be honest with you, I really do. I think they've got a real chance of winning it. Chesham, to be fair. I think they could be the dark horses of the three, to be fair to them. But yeah, I mean, that potentially that could be a really tough game. They're a good side. We've always notoriously done quite well against Chesham, to be honest. And you do get teams, don't you, that you come up against that are your bogey sides and teams that you do well against. And Chesham, we've always seemed to do reasonably well against them. And I've got quite a good track record against them. So, I mean, it potentially that would be a good one for us.
Oh, because you've also got, you know, in that last sort of few weeks as well, you've got Bracknell that could be in that playoff position as well. You've got Poole Town as well, depending on what goes on. That could be a really sort of vital game for you on the 1st of April.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, without a doubt. 100%. Yeah, and to be fair, we lost against Bracknell, like I say, earlier in the season. And same again, one of those games where it was a disappointing performance and we need to look at putting games like that right and make sure when we get the return fixture we like I say we serve up a better performance and hopefully get the revenge on the defeat from the previous one.
and I like how specific one of your games is, because according to football web pages, on the 5th of April you're at home to Plymouth Parkway, but your kickoff is going to be 7:44.
not a minute later.
It's important, that minute.
I was just wondering if there was another big game that night and you wanted to make sure yours was finished before then.
No, I think that must be a typing error.
But that's a side, as you said, you haven't played yet. 11th of March away down there in Plymouth, and then and then you've got sort of them at home on the 5th of April. But I mean, guys, with yours, I mean, how set up are both of your clubs? If you were both sort of like successful at the end of the year, either going up playoffs or going up as champions, how sort of set up is your clubs to go into the next division? Should we go with Adam first?
Yeah. To be fair to us, we're a stable football club. And if we, you know, if we are lucky enough to go up, then we'll manage that accordingly, be honest. One thing we won't do is this boom and bust thing, which, you know, some clubs have done. You know, we'll have a framework, we'll have a pattern and we'll have a go, because our crowds are exceptional at the minute, you know, gone through the roof, our crowds are on what we're averaging. And then obviously, you know, if you were to go up, the extra attendance from away fans, suddenly you've got a decent back in there. Not only that, with having a brand new 3G providing everything all goes to plan, installed in the spring stroke summer at the side of our main pitch where we train. So that'll be a brilliant facility for the football club as well. So yeah, I mean, as regarding us, you know, a chairman, you know, he's built the club up slowly and steadily, and we keep adding bits. Likewise, we do with players. So yeah. So if we go up, you know, we'll certainly give it a best shot. But you know, as we know, lots of football to be played yet. But we know that, you know, that what we'll be well organised and structured, because we're, you know, we're a well-run club.
But is the club, though, is it, what I'm saying is the club, you know, itself sort of like ready? Or is there stuff that you'd have to do to the ground maybe to actually move forward into Vanarama South, Vanarama North, that sort of thing? Or what is the, you know, is the club set up perfectly just to slip up and you haven't got to spend loads of money on?
Yeah. To be fair, I think when you need, I think it's just a couple of minor bits really. Yeah. So nothing that's major. You know, when you think, you know, the clubs which are in there, you know, there's some massive clubs in there now, isn't there? You know, ex football league clubs, you know, littered around the National League now in the North. So yeah, I mean, it'd be something to certainly look forward to if we're able to do it. But like I said, the club's in a good place on and off the pitch, and it's about, you know, we are sustainable. So as a club, you know, we'd certainly look forward to the challenge.
Mm. Lee, Swindon in a good place.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we probably need a little bit more seating. The lights were improved recently. So that was important as well. And yeah, I mean, listen, we've got a brilliant chairman, Jez Webb, who, same again, I mean, he's obviously put great facilities in place. We've got a dome right next to the actual football pitch, which, like I say, is a great training facility for the first team. And it's used by the likes of Swindon Town. I think Southampton use it with their youth, with their young academy, some of the young kids they've got. And we've obviously got, like I say, a really good youth section and a women's section as well. So the club's like really set up well now. And like I say, I mean, I think with the fan base, we're not quite so fortunate with that, to be honest. And I think obviously having Swindon Town right on our doorstep, sometimes when the fixtures clash, it has a little bit of an effect on our crowds. And we sort of average probably around about the 250 mark, which, like I say, when you look at the bigger clubs in the league, they're getting like 700, 800, 600. I mean, you've got big teams again. You've got your like, so your Westerns, your Pools, Salisbury's. I mean, they attract a lot of crowds, and I think that would be something that, like I say, would help us go to that next step as well. To be fair, and it's something that's important that we keep working at as a club. And obviously, success brings people through the gate, and the more successful we are, and the better performances we put on the pitch, the better chance we have of attracting people. But it has, I must admit, it's probably something that we've struggled with slightly. But like I say, the chairman, that Jez, he's brilliant. And like I say, he supports me. And like I say, what he's actually done for the football club, making it sustainable. And like I say, giving us the opportunity of actually competing at the level we're at is absolutely brilliant. And I think if we went to the next level, I know it would be something that would excite him and be a challenge to him. And same again, he wouldn't want to go silly and go in with massive budgets or anything. But I think he would be sensible with it and try and make us competitive so that we had every opportunity of staying in the league if we did get promoted. But exactly the same, like I say, listen, we're not looking at that at the moment. It's something that, like I say, if it happens, fantastic. If it doesn't, like I say, the aim at the start of the season for us, to be honest, was to get into the top 10 of the league and make a progression on last season. So at the moment, we're in a good place, and it's something that we've just got to keep doing game upon game.
And it sounds like, you know, your club is a little bit sort of on the same sort of level as Cheshunt. If you know Cheshunt down here in sort of Hertfordshire, Essex area, it's right on the border between the two. And they've just gone up last year through the playoffs from step three into step two into the Vanarama South, you know, found it a little bit sticky to start off with. And now are sort of picking up the points, you know, a point here, 3 points there, point there, et cetera, against some of these sides. They went on a run where they were rock bottom at one stage, but went on a run of beating likes of Welling and all that in the top of the league and shot up the league quite well. So, you know, and Ali will know, they're not a massive side either. They've probably got gates of 250, maybe sort of around that sort of area as well. So, you know, and their chairman sounds like a bit like your chairman. You know, he's a very much a you know, a football based man, and got the club and everything else at his heart. And they're doing quite well. So there's hope there if you do get in there. But it will certainly be interesting to see how you guys get on later on. But one of the things that we've asked other people is, as well, when they're sort of close up to the playoffs, I suppose, In your case, Lee, probably not as much as it may be for Adam because of the Cheshams and the Western Supermares and the Truro sort of away with a fairy, shall we say. But with yours yourself, Adam, would you prefer, or both clubs, if it was a situation where they weren't away with a fairy, shall we say, Lee? I mean, what is the best way of going up? Is it going up automatic or is it going up in a playoff final and winning the playoff final? If you was given that option at the beginning of the season to go straight up or to win the playoff final, I mean, what would be your preference?
Going with me first, yeah?
Yeah, go on, mate. Yeah.
Well, to go straight up and then my hair would be a bit longer. No, yeah, without a doubt. If you can get straight up, get up. I know we lost in the playoff final last year, and you know, I think it's probably the best place to win and the worst place and the worst feeling to lose. You know, and I think most people would say that in the Football League as well, you know, in playoff finals at Wembley, you know, that it's fantastic for the winners, probably the best feeling in the world. But for the losers, it's like, you know, it's heartbreaking and that, you know, really. But, you know, obviously I look at it and think, I used it and think, you know, to buoy yourselves again and to go again. And to be fair, we added a couple in the summer and we've had a couple of good cup runs. So it's great that the lads are back on the money again.
Mm. Pre-Selby, what would you prefer?
Yeah, well, we went up through the playoffs, didn't we? What was that? Five seasons ago? Four seasons ago? So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm exactly the same as that. Listen, we went up. We didn't win a game in the playoffs. Well, we did, obviously, through penalties. And it was, yeah, nerve-wracking, exciting, brilliant. But if you lose, it's horrendous, isn't it? It's probably the worst place to be. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I'd say automatic promotion. But, listen, we haven't done that in the time that I've obviously been managing. But I think that would be the aim. But, listen, that's obviously not going to happen this season. But, yeah, I mean, if we can go up for the playoffs, if we could get into the playoffs, then fantastic.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Ali knows where I'm going to go with this. But, I mean, we lost, you know, we lost in the sort of... when I was with Harlow, you know, we lost in the playoffs final once, you know, against a team that we've beaten twice that year in the league. Do you know what I mean? And then went to their place and lost their place. The following season, we scored over 100 points, scored over 100 goals and lost in a semi-final. We, you know, missed out on automatic by a point. I think we scored about 104 points or something like that, 100 odd goals. God knows how many goals. And he went down to the last game of the season and Needham Market went up. And then we got beaten by Thurrock, who are no longer with us anymore. But they beat us in the semi-final. And it took the following year when we had probably the toughest, you know, set of four teams you could ever hope for. Do you know what I mean? To come up against. We managed to get through. And you know, that final day was, you know, when we won the final was, it lived, you know, lived long in the memory, shall we say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. So I've never actually been there when you've actually, you know, won it. But playoffs for me was just completely cruel on the year before and then, you know, ecstatic the year after.
Yeah, it's a great day for the club, isn't it? If you get promoted through the playoffs, fantastic day. Like I say, everyone involved, all the fans, all the committee, all the directors, the chairman. It's just a fantastic day for everyone who puts so much into all these football clubs. And I say, when I look, it's a day like exactly like you just said, a day you never forget. And you see the people's faces, how happy they are, how excited they are. And yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I mean, with the size, if we say we, you know, we start with Adam first. I mean, tell us a little bit about your club, Adam, and tell us a little bit. You know, people that might be watching that won't know too much about Colville. I mean, tell us a little bit about it. You know, what size have you got in the club? Tell us a little bit about, you know, behind the scenes of, you know, of Colville.
Yeah, I mean, Chairman Glyn Lennox, who basically has built the club up, really, used to be called Ravenston, moved grounds into Colville because basically took the Colville town mantle who existed years ago. And he'd just come up through the leagues, really, bit by bit. And, you know, we find ourselves obviously now in the Southern Prem. But what we have got behind the scenes is we've got lots and lots of kids teams. I mean, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of kids wearing the Colville Town kit, but they all wear the same kit as the first team. So we've got that real community feel to the club, you know. All pretty much loads come to all our games, home and away. And in the local area, it's really, really took off, you know. So we're very much a community-based football club.
Is that quite important to you at building the kids' teams and the community around your team?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you know about Colville, it's an old mining town. So, you know, it's had a lot of decay, really, in the years since the mine shut. And the football club's a major positive within it. And like I said, we've had this 3G pitch, which will be built next year again for the kids' teams for us to train on. And suddenly we've got ourselves a tremendous facility within the community for everybody to enjoy. You know, we've got ladies' team. I think we've got two ladies' teams. And then obviously we've got the girls' teams as well, plus all every other team. So, and we've got, again, importantly, we've got inclusive team as such. So people like all sorts of disabilities, lots of different things who probably wouldn't get the chance to play have got a platform to play, you know, and train together, which is fantastic to see. And we evolve everything as part of the football club. So that's really important.
That's really great to hear, Adam. Always great to hear football teams that are sort of building their communities up. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, I think our inclusive club, that has just grown through the roof. You know what I mean? There's that many kids whose parents are bringing them along that we've had to bring more coaches in to deal with that, which, again, you know, we're thinking that, you know, we're dealing with not just, don't want to say elite footballers at our level, but all the way down, you know, everybody, different backgrounds, all different standards. So, and that's the important thing for us to be as a club as well.
I mean, with the actual sort of, with the club, I mean, how long you yourself sort of been with the club?
I've been back, I've lost track with the COVID thing, obviously. I think I've been back about the fourth season back. Prior to that, I was there, eight, nine years. Got to the FA Vars final promotion. And then I took a step back and just wanted a breather, really. And then I ended up at Grantham for, I think, three and a half seasons. And we got to the playoff final there as well. And then Colville approached me about coming back. And I was delighted to, because I live in the town as well. And I could see the progression that the club was making behind the scenes. And it was a no-brainer, really.
Sounds like it's a lovely, as you say, like a real sort of, you know, as a family club.
Yeah, it is, and you know, and we'll go for a drink together. You know, the chairman comes, different people from in the club after training. So what we have got, with, you know, not just the players, but across the board, we've got a good camaraderie there between us all. So I'm a big believer in that. You know, across the board, you know, it takes. To make a team, it needs all different people within that, you know, to make it happen.
I mean, one question, I suppose it's a positive question, but you could, I suppose, some people might say, "Why am I asking that question?" It's very negative. It's not. I don't mean it to sound this way, but you've had such a successful run in the FA Cup, a really successful run in the FA Trophy. If you was unlucky enough this year and you didn't make it up to step two, would it still be a really successful season in your eyes?
I think so. Again, a lot depends on how we finish the season from now, doesn't it? You know, lots of things. But, you know, great belief in taking positives. You know, I think, you know, look at the clubs that we've beat on the way in the FA Cup and the FA Trophy. You know, to go away to Medal Lane and win, likewise at Chesterfield in the FA Trophy, you take those moments. But But the key thing is for me is that I've got a good bunch of lads, and I know that they'll give me everything they've got. And if the best isn't good enough, then you know that's the way it is. But whatever we do, it certainly won't be through lack of effort and lack of togetherness. So hopefully we can finish the end of the season strong.
Mm. Lee, I mean, we're Swindon Supermarine. I mean, tell us a little bit about your club.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, I've mentioned him before, the chairman, Jez Webb. He's, same again, he's big on, like I say, the community and families, and like I say, people coming to watch the game, obviously, as families and people enjoying it. He's very keen on the club progressing. But he keeps it realistic. Like I say, financially, it's got to be sustainable. He's not going to do anything silly, which is totally understandable. And like I say, I think the league we're in at the moment is a very tough league. There's a lot of really good sides in it, big teams who have obviously played in the Conference South and in the Conference. So like I say, I don't think at the moment we're in a bad place, to be honest. And I think realistically, looking at the league and where we are, we're probably in about the right place at the moment, to be honest. But yeah, no, it's a nice club to work for. All the people are really positive, and like I say, the vice chairman puts a lot of effort into the football club. The chairman's a really good guy. He's always supportive, which is obviously massively important for me as a manager. We've got a really good group of players that we've built over the previous four seasons. And to be fair, we don't have a massive turnover of players, to be honest. If we can improve it, we'll obviously look to improve it. Like this season, I think the recruitment was probably slightly better this season. We've brought two or three players in who have really improved us. But like I say, we've built on what we've had from the previous season, and like I say, I think at the moment we're in a good place, and like I say, it's important. Like I say, we keep taking little steps forward, and we look to improve season upon season, which I think we are. So like I say, it's all positive.
What about other teams inside the actual club itself? Have you got like ladies teams and children's teams?
Yeah. So we've got a ladies team. And we've got a development side, we've got an under 18 side, and it runs right the way down from obviously the 18s into all the youth teams and the schoolboys, I think down to under fives, under sixes. So yeah, there's a massive youth section, and like I say, obviously with the dome, the facility we've got, and obviously the facility at the back of the actual ground as well, it's really positive. It's all positive, and like I say, it's a good place to be.
And my father-in-law told me, so I'm going to see if we can get confirmation to see if he was correcting what he was telling me. But when I said that Swindon Supermarine were on today, or he saw the highlights, he was actually watching. I caught him watching your highlights from week one, and he was telling me about Swindon Supermarine. But tell us how Swindon Supermarine got the name. Supermarine as such. Why it was called?
No, if I'm honest, I don't.
He was telling me it's something to do with the RAF. Now, whether or not that is the case or not, I don't know, because we did mention earlier on about logo,
I think it's that.
He said it's something to do with that because he was, of course, himself. He's very much into all that sort of stuff himself.
Yeah, it's something I should know, but I don't. It's something to do with, I might be wrong here, but I think it's something to do with, like I say, obviously the Spitfires were made near the ground. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of that, but don't quote me on that. Don't hold me to that.
That's right. I mean, if there's anybody watching and they know, then maybe,
we can find out. Yeah.
Educate us as well.
But I mean, with the league itself, how do you find the league? Because I've become acquainted with the league over the last 18 months to 2 years, and some people will say you're just saying that because you're doing what you're doing. But I find it to be very much when you speak to managers like yourself or coaches or players or chairman, etc., it does feel very much like a family league. Would I be wrong in saying that, or would you agree?
Certain clubs. I like to say, I mean, I think there's quite a big divide between certain clubs, though, as in like with, let's say, with the fan bases and the feel that you get from a football club. Mm. And I think, let's say, the bigger the club, sometimes the less that feeling is there. Your likes of your Western Supermares, your Paul Towns, when you go to places like that, let's say, I mean, especially Western and Salisbury. Like I say, they're actually proper. They've got that feeling that they're national. They've been National League teams, and you can see that.
Mm. What about yourself, Adam? Would you say that it's a sort of family thing? That's what I sort of get from it myself.
Yeah, there is. You know, I mean, you tend to find that you know lots and lots of people within it, and it's. Lots of clubs are probably run similar. I mean, you've got a lot of the, you're just saying there, you know, there's some very big, big, big clubs. Some big fan bases and others who don't get many. But generally, yeah, I think clubs are pretty much alike, really, to be honest.
Mm. I mean, Ali, I mean, you're in a different league as well now, because you're in the Step 5 League, in the Essex League. I mean, what's the Essex Senior League like? Is that, does that feel like to you? You're in there most of the time. Does it feel like a friendly league?
I'll be honest, probably one of the best things I've been in, for like just nice people around, nice fans. I don't, obviously, being female, don't get abused. I've had it once this year, actually, which is a shock, really, which is nice. I feel like I went to Ensign the weekend and they were offering me cups of tea, or being really friendly, got me a water bottle. It feels like a real family air when you get down to those sort of levels.
Mm.
But I'll be honest, I really like this. The travelling, not so much, I won't lie, David. Travelling's a bit of a much. Southend in the midweek is not my favourite place to be. but I really like the league, I'm being honest. They're all very friendly so far.
And of course, Newham's your favourite ground, yeah?
Yeah, I love Newham. I used to work at Newham Hospital and I knew him very well, sadly. A bit too well.
I mean, just one of the things, I mean, one of the things that sort of over the weekend that sort of been in the news, I suppose, over the weekend, I know we don't have VAR and stuff like that in there, but what has been your feelings this year on the standard of refereeing so far this year? I mean, have you been happy with it, or is it...
Be very careful how you answer, gentlemen.
No comment.
Yeah.
Is it like that, is it?
I'll rephrase it.
I suppose one thing that happened that I saw over the weekend, there was a game over the weekend, that I was at, and literally you get a referee that you may know very well when he referees you in a game, etc., and you get on quite well with him. The both clubs get on well with him, and he's a good referee. Do you feel, though, if that good referee has got somebody sitting up in the stand and he's been assessed, does that then good referee become not such a good referee, shall we say? Do you feel that the referees referee the game differently if they're being assessed?
I was going to say that I think every game I've been to this year had an assessor at it, which I think it's really hard if you're a ref. I wouldn't like being assessed every game, physio. I'd be very upset, to be honest. But I feel like every game I've been to this year has had an assessor there, for better or for worse. But yeah.
I think a major problem is how intense these leagues are. The level of football is very high, and how intense it is. It's full on, and you do need a strong official which is consistent. And like you just said, I think having somebody sat in a stand and actually knowing that they're there and there's like staring at them, surely that's got to be a weird feeling for me. It's like a player, say there's a scout from Liverpool, comes up, oh, by the way, I'm sitting in the stand today watching you. Well, for me, if you're being a, why don't you just sit in the stand out of the way and just look at it and just do that? That's the bit that I don't get. Why does it need to be this big announcement, all the referee and all that? And they're just, for me, just let them do the job and then see how it goes rather than thinking you've got to do this and do that. Well, actually, for me, just ref the game, you know. But my big thing is just consistency, to be honest. You know, if a player's getting a yellow card for one thing, then if it's my player, then the other team does it, or the other way around. You know, that's the main thing for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because for me, it's always like the referees it with common sense normally, knows how the game's going, and referees it in sort of, you know, by the rules, shall we say, but with common sense with the rules, if you know what I mean, when they're not being assessed and on the pitch and they're refereeing it with common sense, they can see something happening and they react to it or in a certain way. But as soon as they've actually got an assessor there, they have to sort of almost throw the common sense out the window and go by what the rule book says. And, you know, on a normal day, they would give, you know, maybe a yellow card or no card. But because of the assessor sitting in there, they might have to flash a red or, you know, on those sort of lines. That's what it always feels like to me.
Yeah, it's just the whole process of it. You know, like you were saying, it surely, you know, it should be a case of just coming in and ref it the game and just let's be honest, nobody's perfect. Everyone's, you know, will make mistakes, you know, as a manager, as a player, as a referee. So it's always going to happen. But for me, I think the major thing is like the card situation, you know, and tackles. I mean, we had one the other week where lad's on the yellow and then he's brought the lad down, which should have been another yellow. And And they've been allowed to take him off basically stub him off. And not. And I'm like, well, and we've just picked a yellow up just before. You know, so those little things, which as a manager, you know, like, if I had hair, I'd be tearing it out, you know. But I mean, I've said it for a couple of seasons now. I don't think it'd do any harm for us managers, coaches to have meetings on a basis with referees or their superiors or whatever we call it, so that we can probably all be singing on the same hymn sheet. Because I think hiding behind, say, an assessor or not saying anything, I think I'm a great believer. If you get your heads together and you know what's happening. And you know, and you can actually, as a manager, without probably shouting your mouth off, which we all do in the heat of the moment, you can actually sit down and talk about your fears and any problems that you've got, and you'll probably get a better viewpoint that way, rather than it just being told up the game and you know your head's all over the place and you never actually get any answers back. You know, and that's a two-way street as well, going the other way as well towards us as managers from officials. I think it's just getting a bit of common sense between us all, and then we'll get a big picture about what's happening.
Mm. Well, we've had an answer about Swindon Supermarine.
Thought you might.
It doesn't say Lee should know or anything like that whatsoever. It just says. And it was from Swindon Supermarine, from their Twitter feed. It says, your answer. Swindon Supermarine FC was originally set up in 1946 from the social club associated with Supermarine Aircraft Company. The club was originally called Vickers Armstrong and later shortened to Vickers FC.
There you go.
And so my father-in-law was actually correct. He did say it had something to do with the Supermarine Aircraft Company when we were sitting right there talking on Monday, but I wasn't on Sunday, but I wasn't too sure whether or not he was making it up and trying to make me look silly or not, but he wasn't. So it's
I'll get a fine.
one sort of question for you as well. I mean again, something that sort of happened just recently. If one you're in a game, and this is sort of a scenario game as the manager, you know, on the pitch, and one of your players, and Ali can answer the same question as a physio because she's on the, you know, she's on the bench as well. One of your players gets sent off and is shown a red card. but refuses to leave the field of play or leave or go back to the dressing rooms. What do you do as a manager?
I drag him off myself, personally.
To be fair, I'd send my assistant over because he's about 9 foot.
Yeah, I'll say the same as that. Charlie Griffin has sort him out.
But who's in your eyes, who's in charge of that situation? Is the referee in charge of that situation, and he should make sure the player, female or male, of course, goes back to the changing rooms, or is that down to the personnel on their own bench?
I think you'd like to think it's a player, wouldn't you? A player himself would go off or herself, but I suppose in the heat of the moment, maybe you need a little bit of help from your manager or your assistant manager, maybe even your physio, just come and say, come on, lad, off you get. You know, yeah. I don't think the refs would get involved with moving players off the pitch. It could be a bit of a flashpoint, couldn't it? They're upset enough anyway.
Yeah, I think there's a level of respect in there that has got to be put in there. And let's say the player's got to be doing what he's told to do, simple as that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rightly or wrongly, you know, that's the decision. And obviously, heads are all over the place. But I think, yeah, it's a duty to follow that.
Ali, you got any questions for the gentleman?
No, I'm pretty happy. I can't wait to come to your team. I don't know much about these leagues. I won't lie. I've been a South girl most of my days, and I'm a little bit Essexy now. But you know, this sounds so amazing. All these teams and all these places. I love that you guys have both got community teams. I think it's a wonderful that you're a part of your communities and that you're so well invested. I've got a lot of places to go next season, David. A good cup run going on.
The food's good as well at St Marine, to be fair, in the bar.
What's your favourite dish there at the bar then?
Oh, they do. So they do a wicked chicken korma, and
oh my god,
they do. That's nice. They do a nice chili. And they did. To be fair, they do some posh food as well in the director side. Really nice. Yeah, really nice. To be fair, that's where a lot of the players end up sneaking over the other side.
What about you, Adam? But is it like that in your place, or is it like Enfield Town at the weekend when the chairman walked past me with about 6 or 7 15-inch pizzas that have just been delivered?
Yeah, I'm concentrating on the lager, to be honest. No, to be fair, we have pizzas after the game. Yeah, they do come in. Yeah, we do have pizzas for the
players. We have pizzas too. I'm going to put in a transfer request, I think.
Well, I mean, I saw another. And of course, there was a few iffy VAR decisions at the weekend. But I did see another a quote that came on, and it said that the leaders Arsenal in the Premier League this season had dropped points in 5 games this season, and in 4 of those games, the PGMOL, or the Premier League, actually have contacted Arsenal to apologise for mistakes made in the game to actually lose them the points. What if that was yourselves and you're going for the title yourselves, guys? I mean, I know Lee's going for, you know, Adam's probably going for the title in the Central. You know, Lee's going for the playoffs. If that happened to you, I mean, what would your reaction be to that?
To be honest, I think, especially at that level, they're all on good money, aren't they? They are full time. It is literally the job to officiate and to make those big decisions. So for me, like a manager or a player, you get a mic thrust under your nose after a game. And I think fans and managers deserve answers on why, rather than hiding away. You know, I think that's the key for me. Because to be fair, you know, with this technology that's available, we shouldn't really have any grey areas, should we? You know, not with the money and so-called expertise that's there. I think, you know, I'd be fuming, to be honest. I would be. Did you see the Leicester offside not given at the weekend as well? I mean, you know, frightening.
Yeah, I mean, especially when, you know, especially for me when, you know, no disrespect, when they're forgetting to draw lines and then drawing lines on, you know, on defenders that are not even the last defender. And it's like, what is going on?
It's ridiculous.
You know, I mean,
I thought the whole point was to get rid of all this problem, though, wasn't it? I think it's really undermining to the referees and the linos as well. How can they do a good job when they're being undermined by their own people? It's mad, really.
It's crazy. People sat in an office somewhere with uniforms on, like making that call, and then the rest trying to ref the game. It must be a mad ass.
I mean, and then of course in Ali's team, she's of course a West Ham. Just in case you wanted to know, but they've got two they've actually got two goalkeepers on the pitch, you know, Suchek decides to dive and save it, and he gets away with it as well.
I've watched it back; it hit his knee 100%. I saw exactly what happened, and I don't need to go to VAR for that. It was a knee; it's fine.
is that the knee attached to the elbow?
Yeah,
I'm a physio. I know where the knee is. It's fine.
It was 100% his knee, David.
I don't hear
anything else.
I mean, just to finish with, have you guys seen any crazy decisions this year? If it's a referee or, you know, decisions that a player's made or whatever else. Have you seen anything that has made you chuckle to yourself this year?
That one that I just spoke about, where they allowed a player to be subbed when it should have been a yellow and another red, but that's obviously another matter which I must say I was angry about.
Lee?
No, there's a few strange ones. There's a couple of sendings off, a few handballs. We've had a couple of penalties go against us, which, like I say, are just, some of them are unbelievable. How players are expected to get out of the way, and even when they're saying that their hands are not in a natural position. I think it's very hard for players to stop shots and things like that when they've got their hands literally behind their backs. That to me is probably a really unnatural position to put your hand behind your back so it doesn't hit your hand. And then when it's smashed at you from 10 yards, and your hand's behind your side, and it hits your knee and then comes up and hits your hand and it's handball, and then your player gets sent off. Just leaves you with your head scratching. You scratch your head sometimes, you just can't believe it. And they're the moments, like I say, as a manager, you look at, and that changes the game as well at times. And that sort of thing kills you. It just, like I say, drives you around the bend. And the problem is you've got to live with it as well for the next 2 or 3 days. Because when you get beat, like I say, you've got the disappointment, obviously, with the result. But it lives with you for a couple of days as well and burns away at you. So, yes, sometimes it's not an easy one to take.
I'll be honest, I think one of the funniest ones looking back on it now was a game, a local derby that I went to, and I was doing the commentary on it, and nothing was happening. All of a sudden, right in the second half, the goalkeeper picks the ball up, just literally goes on the floor, jumps on it, picks the ball up, gets up, almost puts himself into like a ball shape and runs at the attacker and just knocks him, shall we say, arse over tit on the floor. And the referee just doesn't even give nothing at all. And he clears the ball, bounces in the thing. One of the sort of the home team, shall we say, makes the foul. And one guy comes in from nowhere and lamps him. And it all ends up in a massive, great big brawl in the middle of the pitch. Two players from one side get sent off. One player from the away side gets sent off. But the player that threw the punch didn't even get a yellow card. and then about 5 minutes later, the referee's over the very, very far side of the pitch, runs back, and he gives the manager a red card at the home team because he said he called him a see you next Tuesday. And yet he was like about 45 yards away. That he was just farcical, absolutely farcical. Like for about 10 minutes, just completely lost the plot of what was going on. I think it ended up 9-10 in the end. And then another one got sent off in the tunnel. You know, you could tell something was going to go off at the end of the game. And then another one gets sent off in the tunnel on the way back to the dressing room as well. It was just unreal. Absolutely unbelievable. But there we go. But one thing I would like to say to everybody before we go, of course, is that just over the last couple of weeks, we have been doing, or I have been sort of putting together, is the Southern League Goals of the Week show. And let me just say a massive thank you to everybody that's been sending stuff in and advertising, especially Swindon Supermarine, who have been doing their own sort of publicising of my show. So a massive thank you to them. But it has been, great response so far. We've had over 1.2K on both weeks so far. So really, really pleased with how it's going. We do say to some of the clubs, come on, guys, get your goals in. It's not compulsory. Of course, it's not, but you can get your goals in and please send your match goals in and not actually just your goals for that week. That would be even better if you can send them into me. And also as well, subscribe to the channel, because at the moment, when we first started out of the Trident Leagues, we were so far away from the other two leagues, it was unreal. At the present minute in time, we've now got more subscribers on YouTube than the Isthmian League, and we're now only about 90 subscribers away from toppling the Northern League on the actual YouTube subscribers. So my quest today is to say to you guys, if there's anybody from Colville watching and Swindon Supermarine watching, all your fans, get on that button and just press subscribe to that channel. And that'd be fantastic to see you guys subscribing to that and try and get to be number one subscribers over the three leagues. We've got a great show coming up again this week. Some great goals that I've been editing so far. Loads more to do later on tonight and tomorrow. That will be out on 7 o'clock on Wednesday for week three. And we've got a big, big celebrity that's going to introduce the show this week. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you need to watch, because it is somebody that's incredibly famous, and they are going to open the show for us at the beginning of week three. But a massive thank you tonight, of course, to Adam. Fantastic talking to you again, Adam. And Lee, first time speaking.
Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic. And thank you to your fantastic, well, both your fantastic clubs, and a massive congratulations us as well goes to Colville for what you've done in the FA Cup competitions this year. Absolutely superb. And
thank you.
Is incredibly proud of you. And of course, to young Ali at the bottom, of course, we can't do it without you, mate. So thank you very, very much indeed. We will be back in 2 weeks' time, because unfortunately, if I do it next week, I think I might be in a bit of trouble, because it's the wife's birthday and we're supposed to be going out. So I might be in a bit of trouble. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with the D and K and A show. We will also wish all the best to Keith as well. He's on the mend. Keep moving in the right direction, my friend. And who knows, we might see him with me and Ali by the end of the season. If not, we'll see him at the beginning of the next. But a massive thank you for watching, and we'll see you again next week. Oh, 2 weeks, not next week. I'll get shot.